Domingo Santana, ooh, I wanna add you to my roster. In Roto, replacing Gio Soto, Giolito, and Brito, baby, where my fab go? Near the Florida Keys, there's a place in Miami, that's where you wanna be to get ahead of your league. If you put Posey at sea, he'll help in points or OBP. Heath will approve, cause he's under 30, cause Heath's an ageist on the podcast. Mazzara and Parra project to Amiwara, Herrera, Cabrera. Don't let the bandit scare ya. Machado or Bono or no.
Now that is an intro song. How about that, guys?
Whoa.
Whoa.
Yes. Welcome to the show. We got to thank Doc Kratzer from our For the People podcast league. Heath, this league now is officially paid off because we have, I'm not sure how often we'll use it, but we have an intro song.
It is the greatest league ever.
What do you mean you're not sure how often we'll use it? Like, we need to use it every time.
Scott. I don't know. It's very long. I'm definitely going to use it as an outro every time. I'm not sure about an intro. It's very
come
long.
Come on.
We need to hear Al Loves Rick Porcello over and over and over again. And
right.
We did on Friday when we got our copies of this. I would guess that Scott and I may have played it 20, 30 times between the two of us.
Yeah.
I was cracking up. I was laughing so hard, and my fiance was like, what are you laughing at? And I played it for her. I'm like, you're not going to get it. And she didn't get it, which was a total bummer. But
my wife didn't get it either.
Yeah. You played it for your wife. Yeah, it was so funny. And Doc, thank you so much. And everybody, welcome to Monday's edition. Important announcement.
Yeah. Even if you don't get it, I feel like you've got to appreciate the effort, right?
Oh,
You can understand the effort.
Yes.
Yeah, you can give a nice smile, pat on the head. That's cute, honey. From your significant other. But they don't really mean it. It's just patronizing.
So we'll go over everything over the weekend, tell you who to add and drop, tell you about SeatGeek and FanDuel and players, you know, Joe Kelly, Michael Fulmer getting added maybe, Steve Pierce up to 55% owned, a little bit more on him later. Got some news on Mike Trout and Matt Harvey and Yu Darvish, and should you start Ruug Neto Odor? Should you start Giancarlo Stanton this week? Wow, he's been terrible. But first, before you do anything, put down whatever you're doing. Stop driving. Go to podcastawards.com and help us out. You can vote for the Fantasy Football Podcast, CBS Sports Fantasy Football Today podcast, in the best sports podcast category, sports and recreation. We are nominated. Would be amazing if you could help us out and vote for us on podcastawards.com. Email us, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. So we usually start the show with, you know, hot topics, guys to add, things like that. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to throw out three pitchers and then a bunch of hitters. And these guys, you know, are mostly available, except for maybe Pierce and Saunders, who are about 50 to 55% owned. And Cameron Maybin's right there, too. But a lot of these guys are pretty available. I'm just going to start with these three. We'll start a little bit deeper today. And you guys tell me how you're feeling about them. Start with the pitchers. Boom, Joe Kelly. Bam, Michael Fulmer. Wham, Matt Cain. Joe Kelly, Michael Fulmer, Matt Cain. Widely available. Who's interested in any or all three or two of the three? You tell me.
Well, I've fallen into this trap all year, and we generally do in fantasy baseball. I haven't seen Michael Fulmer fail as much. I'm definitely least interested in Matt Cain, most interested in Michael Fulmer. Now it should be said that I think the Rays still have one of the highest strikeout rates in baseball against right-handed pitchers. I may have added Fulmer in one 12 team league, but I mostly added him in deeper leagues. He does have, I can't remember who he's facing, but both the teams that the Tigers are facing this week, I think they're facing the Athletics and the Phillies. So whoever he's facing, he's going to have a good matchup.
He unveiled a changeup in this start. Hadn't really used it significantly before it. And, you know, going from two pitches to three pitches is...
It helps.
Yeah, that's normally what it takes to really be a starter in the major leagues. So I'm excited about him. Obviously, we know he has upside. I mean, he throws 96, 97. His slider's 86, 87. He would clearly be the one of the three I'm most interested in. But I didn't add him. I didn't add any of these three in any leagues. And, you know, I think I'm going through a period here of waiver wire fatigue,
mm-hmm.
which I know you've talked about before, Adam.
Yeah.
But I just wrote a piece last week. It was 10 fringy starting pitchers that I'd like to own but can't. And, you know, it wasn't a situation where I was literally owning none of them, but I could only choose two or three, even though I'd like to have them all. So you just add Fulmer to the rest of that list. You know, guys like Ruby De La Rosa, Nathan Eovaldi. I mean, these are guys with upside too, who've had good starts, just like Fulmer has. And how am I supposed to choose him over them? You know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, I'm glad you mentioned the changeup, because Fulmer was a two-pitch pitcher, and even his own catcher, James McCann, was like, he needs a third pitch for the future. He can't survive on two pitches. And yes, he throws two different types of fastballs, but two fastballs and a slider, it's basically a two-pitch pitcher. The changeup he threw 27% of the time against Tampa Bay, and it was good, so that's something to keep in mind with him. We'll go to the hitters now. All right, I guess I'll group them in ownership percentage. Steve Pierce, Michael Saunders, Cameron Maben. About 50% own these three guys. Pierce, Saunders, Maben. Maben sitting 600 with four steals in five games. Saunders, look at this slash line for Michael Saunders. 322, 388, 570 with eight home runs. And he's been hot. Homered in three of his last four games. And, of course, Steve Pierce is playing a lot and doing well. Homered against the righty on Friday. Might be in your FanDuel lineup tonight against the lefty Wei and Chen. I think he's 3,600. You guys want to talk about these three guys?
It seems like Michael Saunders can just do whatever the Jays ask him to do. I mean, he was leading off early in the year, and so he got on the base a ton, and they've moved him down towards the middle of the order, so he starts hitting home runs.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily buy it. I think maybe his ownership's a little bit low, though, just because of his past and the fact that, I mean, the Jays' lineup has been not the worst in the league, but bad so far this season, kind of breaking out of it this weekend. But if he's going to hit in anywhere near the middle of the Jays order and play regularly, he's a good enough player not to put up numbers like he's doing. But I think he should be owned in pretty much all five outfielder leagues.
Yeah, I would think so too. I was tempted to add him in some three outfielder leagues, ultimately didn't. I believe in Jay's magic to some degree. They've resuscitated enough hitters, really not even just resuscitate, but given them life we didn't even know they had over the years. Obviously, Bautista and Encarnacion are the biggest examples. So, I guess there's a chance of that here. It's just there's nothing underlying to really support that. I mean, the strikeout rate's still as bad as it always was. It's not like he's walking a lot more. You saw some of those underlying changes for Bautista and Encarnacion where they were breaking out. So I'm not confident it's more than just a hot streak. I'm just open to the idea.
Well, and he doesn't need to be Bautista or Encarnacion. He could be Valencia or Colabello from last year.
Yeah,
and he's usable.
He's usable.
Would you rather have Michael Saunders or Kevin Pillar?
Pillar.
Yeah, it's much, much closer than it was at the beginning of the season.
Michael Saunders or Alex Gordon?
I'll stick with Gordon.
I'll take Saunders there because I feel like Gordon himself is so fringy in three outfield. Just take the hot hand.
Gordon's day-to-day with a wrist issue right now, so keep that in mind, Alex Gordon owners. Pierce, you know, we've been talking about him a lot. Scott, you really like Steve Pierce. 55% yeah. Owned. Does that seem about right to you?
Well, I haven't added him in the head-to-head points format, the 21-man roster yet. So if that is about half to, you know, 40 to 50% of people who play on our site play in that format, then I guess that's about right. It seems a little low still just because he's second base eligible, but I think it's in line with what I've been doing.
Yeah, the problem with Steve Pierce, I mean, he is the prototypical roto utility guy, but in a points format, he's not going to be one of the top 40 outfielders. He's not going to be one of the top 12 second basemen, even though he's...
I think he could be. And I mean, but yeah.
He's not probably going to be.
Yeah. If he continues what he's doing, I mean, he just came out. He just had a 30 point week, basically. And, you know, OPS over 900. I really like his potential, but at the same time, I did last year and he let everybody down. So I'm open to the idea that I'm wrong about him.
That's Steve Pierce. He is the most added player in our leagues. The other guys I wanted to ask you about are a little bit more available. They're less than 30% owned. Trace Thompson homered at San Diego on Saturday. He's 28% owned. Leonis Martin is 26% owned. He has three homers in his last five games. And with Ketel Marte on the DL, Leonis Martin actually led off on Sunday. And then we have Eduardo Nunez, who, like, it's like, how much longer can we ignore it, I guess, with Eduardo Nunez? Maybe keep ignoring it.
Scott's going to ignore it forever.
Isn't it mostly singles? I mean, isn't this like a souped-up Yunel Escobar?
And eight steals. He's the number 12 shortstop in fantasy, but it is a lot of singles. He's not hitting for much power, Nunez.
Yeah.
Eduardo Escobar also on his way back, so don't know about the playing time. But
I actually like Thompson more than even Cameron Maben, who was in the previous group you talked about. And I know he had a monster weekend with a lot of steals, but I think we're familiar with his limitations by now. Thompson's kind of new to the ball game and has been nothing but successful in the opportunities he's gotten. And I know last time he came up after a two-homer game against a righty, we talked about, okay, well, they're going to open the door to him playing against soft-tossing righties. Well, he's started seven straight games, six against right-handed pitchers. And scanning through some of the names, there's some...
Some garbage in there.
There's some soft-tossers in there. Yeah, maybe it's just a streak of soft-tossing righties.
Maybe. But... I mean, he is hitting, though, and...
Yeah.
You know, there's something to be said about it.
Power. I don't love the plate discipline, but you know, it's not like poor plate discipline guys never come through.
Here's the weird thing about Trace Thompson is he's basically played a half a season in the major leagues now, and he's hit 12 home runs, and he's got this 900 OPS, and he's got a 256 ISO. His last 3 years in the minor leagues, he was never that good.
He was a big disappointment of a prospect.
I don't know... It's so hard to buy into it, but I agree with Scott that I'd still rather have him like some of the guys, previous outfielders on that list, just in case.
Right. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we look at the most added list, see what's going on in CBS Sports Leagues, and I think we have to spend a lot of time today, or at least a good chunk of time, on Chris Archer.
He's awful.
Dallas Keuchel.
Awful.
I'm so tired of talking about these guys.
You know, I feel stupid because I'm sitting here, I'm like, they're definitely going to turn it around. Like, it's ridiculous. Don't be worried about these guys. And
I still feel that way.
Me too. And
I feel like we're just reliving the same podcast.
I am worried about Keuchel, though.
He's the one who worries me more of the two. I think Archer's problem, I don't know if you want to get into it right now, but
not
Archer,
really. A little bit.
Like, the stuff is still just so overwhelmingly good. I mean, you've seen it in the strikeout rate. If you just watch him pitch, you're blown away by it. He's just not locating.
Yeah, he's
and
not
that's
locating.
Correctable, right? I'd trust that to fix itself more than a lack of stuff.
If you would have told me at the beginning of the season that I was going to have a top 20 starting pitchers without Harvey, Keuchel, or Archer, I would have laughed really, really hard at you, but that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
Now, who are you moving in?
Well, guys that I've moved in that weren't there before the season, Danny Salazar.
I think that's fair. I'm not saying I'm necessarily doing it, but I think it's fair.
I think I'd rather have you than all those guys.
You Darvish?
Yeah.
Oh man. Me? That's tough.
I mean, this week, if you've got those pitchers on your roster, who do you feel best about starting?
Archer.
Okay.
Against the Yankees. I'm not sure who Keuchel's matchup is. I wouldn't start Keuchel at all right now. It's just been
You can't start Harvey.
It's been a long time since he's had a good start. I wouldn't start Harvey either. Five earned runs or more in five of his last seven for Keuchel. So that's really bad. Archer's actually been, there's been a lot more good starts than bad starts for Archer recently.
Yes.
I think four of six have been solid.
Yeah, but unfortunately he's not really.
That's not a lot more. That's one.
Well, that's, if you're having a good start more than half the time, you're probably startable.
Dallas Keuchel is facing the Angels on the road at the Angels against Jared Weaver.
That's a great matchup.
Yeah, it is.
I wouldn't start him over you.
I wouldn't start him over you either, Heath. I appreciate that. You, Darvish,
I mean,
the
thing about Darvish, I'm excited he's coming back, and yeah, it might not take long for him to re-enter the top 15, top 10 even, but a lot of times these returns from Tommy John surgery aren't exactly seamless.
Oh, no, I think he could have some bumps along the way, but I mean, you're not benching good pitchers right now.
You know, here's one. Would you trade right now Dallas Keuchel for Carlos Carrasco?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Nah. Yeah, I would.
I think... You'd rather have Carrasco.
Yes.
So you don't have Keuchel in your top 20 either.
I think I have...
You have Carrasco still?
I'll have to double check. I mean, it's been a weekend since I updated my rankings, and a lot can change in that period of time. But it'll be close. It'll be borderline for both of them.
You know, there's another big ace out there that needs to be discussed. We will get to that in a moment. But, you know, I used to scour the internet when I needed to buy or sell tickets to a game or a concert. Not anymore, my friends. Now the only thing I use is my SeatGeek app. You can go online to SeatGeek.com or download the free app. Save $20 on your first purchase. More on that in a bit. Find the tickets you want. The app is awesome. Every story I tell is true when I talk about SeatGeek, because I am like a big SeatGeek promoter now. I was at dinner Friday night. My friends were talking about going to a Guns N' Roses concert. And then, of course, I had to chime in about how much I don't like Guns N' Roses. And they were like, how do you not like Guns N' Roses? You're an idiot. But anyway, I told them, if you want to go to the show, you need to use SeatGeek. Why? Because SeatGeek pulls all the available tickets into one convenient place. They rank the tickets based on value, makes it really easy to find great deals. You can see the view from your seat with their detailed map, and nobody likes hidden fees. No hidden fees at checkout on SeatGeek, unlike on StubHub. Now, you'll see the full ticket price from start to finish when you shop on SeatGeek. So, our listeners are going to get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. You download the free SeatGeek app, you go to the Settings tab, click Add a Promo Code. That promo code is FANTASY, capital letters, FANTASY, all caps. SeatGeek will send you a $20 rebate after you've made your first ticket purchase. I promise you people, this is the best way to find tickets to a concert or a game. You can sell on SeatGeek as well. Love SeatGeek, SeatGeek.com. So the most added list has Steve Pierce at the top now, 55% owned. Cameron Maben, number two. Trace Thompson, number three. Rajay Davis, number four. Now, Maben and Davis sort of fill the same role for you. Who would you rather own?
I'd rather own Davis.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons. Playing time. I think we've seen him consistently have a higher number of steals, and I think he might actually have more power based on the way this year has gone.
Wait, I wasn't concerned about Cameron Maben's playing time, are you?
Well, the fact that they have Stephen Moya up still, and they've been open to the idea of playing Justin Upton in center field some, I think, yeah, if Maben's not getting it done with the bat, I think they could go back to that alignment.
Okay. Danny Valencia, number five. Chris Davis, now 84% owned, number six. He's banged up. He's day-to-day. Should be fine for today. Davis did a pinch hit yesterday. This is obviously Chris with a K. You know, Carlos Beltran, 65% owned. He's hitting really well. It's like kind of chasing streaks with him, though.
Oh, it's totally chasing streaks with him, I think.
Well, who would you rather own, Beltran or the guy right behind him on the list, Michael Saunders?
Beltran.
I'd rather own Saunders. I don't think Beltran doesn't walk anymore at all, and that used to be a big part of his contribution. Mm-hmm. So if I got two poor plate discipline guys, and Beltran's actually the worst, by the way, I'll take the guy with what seems to be the higher ceiling.
A few more guys here. A lot of outfielders, by the way. Jose Ramirez, shortstop, 23% owned. Leonis Martin, 27% owned. You know, Marcelo Zuna, you can't own him anymore. He's 91% owned. But something really stood out to me over the weekend. It was really interesting. It involved Tanner Roark, who had a really bad start against the Marlins, and then a really good start against the Marlins. And Dusty Baker said that Barry Bonds is the best at picking things up when he's looking at opposing pitchers. And obviously, Dusty Baker knows Barry Bonds pretty well. Bonds, of course, the Marlins hitting coach. So they think they found something with Tanner Roark that they corrected, and he was able to, you know, go back to dominating the Marlins.
Barry Bonds should share some of those things he's picking up with Giancarlo Stanton.
Well, okay, that's the thing. But you look at Yelich and the way he's hitting, and you look at Ozuna, and it's amazing. It's like Max Scherzer completely dominates them, and I think Ozuna doubled off of him. And then on Saturday, I believe it was Roark, and Ozuna had a double and a triple. He is hitting just unbelievably right now. And yep. I just want to point it out, I think Barry Bonds, I know Stanton's been horrible, so it kind of hurts the argument, but I think there's a chance Barry Bonds is just having a huge impact on some of these guys.
I think there's a chance, too. Ozuna is one of the ones that got discussed most often this spring. You know, there was a lot of rumors about him getting traded in the offseason. He apparently wasn't on Jeffrey Loria's favorable list.
No.
And both Mattingly and Bonds were adamant that, no, you want this guy around. The upside's too high. And we may be seeing a legit breakthrough there. You kind of glossed over maybe the hottest Marlin of all, though, Justin Bour, who is on a nice little homer binge here. And look, he has power. I think he demonstrated that last year. I'd be a little reluctant to buy into him outside of a roto corner infield utility situation, because the Marlins have faced an inordinate number, a low number of
lefties.
Lefties, yeah. Only counted up six all season.
Wow.
And Bour didn't start any of those games, but six in 43 games. I mean,
whoa!
Come on, that's a rate that's going to increase.
Well, that's why I glossed over him, obviously. So here's your big news. Matt Harvey's going to start this week at Washington. We are not going to start him. Yu Darvish Saturday against Pittsburgh. Shin-Soo Chu has missed two straight games with a hamstring injury. Rougned Odor, guys, starter sit. He's going to have his appeal hearing on Tuesday.
Sit.
All right, sit.
It's nice to have the advanced warning. Although there's a chance the appeal will take so long that it won't be until like Friday that he begins sitting, but that's still talking about sitting half the week.
Yeah, but it'd be nice if it happens earlier so we don't have to sit him in week 9 too.
That would be annoying.
Mike Trout appears to be fine. He came out with an ankle injury on Sunday. He said he would have stayed in the game if the game were closer, so I'll be starting him. Jung Ho Kang, day-to-day with a hand injury. Jason Hayward, you can sit him. He's expected to miss just a few more days with a bruised side, but you've been looking for an excuse anyway, right, to sit Jason Hayward?
Oh, yeah.
Miguel Cabrera, day-to-day with a bruised knee after being hit by a pitch on the knee. Wish there was more we could tell you. Just doesn't seem serious. Check on it. Jordan Zimmermann strained his groin. This one does seem a little bit more serious. You might want to be cautious with Jordan Zimmermann. Sonny Gray is on the DL with a strained trap. Does that make you feel a little bit better about his outlook?
It actually does.
Yeah.
The results were so bad and there seemed to be no good reason for it. So now maybe we have one. Hopefully.
I mean, you're still looking at longer without being able to start Sonny Gray. So it makes you feel better. Not to the point to where I'm like happier that I've got him on all of my points teams.
He's even more of a buy low now, though, right? You're gonna
make me an offer.
Okay.
Well, now you can at least stash him on the DL. All right, yeah. Christian.
No,
Yelich.
I don't have room on any of my teams.
He's just dropped Tyson Ross in a league. His preseason man crush.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! I didn't realize Tyson Ross isn't even back yet.
Tyson Ross isn't even allowed to throw yet.
Jeez, what a horrible injury that was.
I mean, they're speculating at the earliest after the All-Star break now.
Oh.
If you don't have a DL spot, cut him.
Christian Yelich, day-to-day with back spasms. Prospect we haven't talked about, Michael Reyes for St. Louis, starting pitching prospect, back from a marijuana suspension. So I'm sure he'll be on radar soon.
Did you get that first name right?
What is it? Is it not Michael?
I don't think that's
Alex?
It, but now I'm having trouble. Alex Reyes? Yeah, Alex Reyes. That's
okay.
It.
My bad. Alex Reyes. So Michael
His
Reyes.
Middle name is Michael.
Michael Reyes is terrible. Don't pick him up.
Reyes doesn't smoke marijuana either. You don't want to give him a bad name.
That's the good news. Maybe he's changing his name to Michael to put everything behind him. So Glenn Perkins had a setback. He's going to be shut down for a week. So, you know, you still have a terrible Kevin Jepsen to go for there in Minnesota, who will
the
never
Twins,
get
what, 12 wins or something?
Yeah. Ketel Marte, DL thumb injury, expected to miss the minimum 15 days. Looks like Lucas Duda is headed to the DL with a back injury. And there's a lot of talk now about Jamison Tyon being called up soon, maybe Nicasio going back to the bullpen. Why Tyon instead of Glasnow? That's what's kind of...
Maybe they're more worried about how much money Glasnow is going to cost them in 5 years?
I mean, Tyone's been better at AAA. Glasnow's had some great starts and some starts where the control's really been an issue. So I think Tyone's just better at this stage.
It could be happening very soon. So Tyon is a guy you want to get on your roster. T-A-I-L-L-O-N.
He was picked in between, I believe it was Harper and Machado. Unless I'm mixing up two drafts. But he was the second overall pick one of those years.
All right. So some guys who've been duds. We talked about Archer and Keuchel. I'll just throw this out there. Gerrit Cole. Are you worried with anything you've seen with Gerrit Cole? He did not strike out one batter in seven innings against Colorado.
That was an aberration, though, right? I mean.
Yeah.
Nah.
Okay.
Not worried.
All right, let me get this guy out of the way. You worried about John Lester at all? He got roughed up at San Francisco on Saturday.
Nope.
All right, now it gets a little bit more interesting.
Oh, it was between Harper and Machado. All right, sorry.
Great.
That's
job.
All right. Yeah. Jacob DeGrom. Jacob DeGrom is really not pitching that well. He did have 17 swinging strikes.
That's good.
But only one ground ball to 12 fly balls on Saturday against Milwaukee. You know, it's just... I don't know. He just hasn't done it. The overall numbers are not that bad, but DeGrom has not been great this year. What are you guys thinking about him?
Has anybody looked yet at the velocity in the last start?
Yes.
Is it improving?
Yes.
Because I feel like his ERA coming into this last start was much better than it should have been for the way that he'd pitched. He'd been really lucky. He wasn't really striking people out. His velocity was way down. As long as that velocity continues to improve, I've given him kind of a free pass because of the late start that he got and the time that he missed. And I'm not like panicking as much as I am on somebody like Harvey.
You're not Joe panicked?
Joe panicked about Harvey, but not about DeGrom. I would expect, I mean, the strikeouts, this is his best strikeout game of the season so far. If the velocity's up and the strikeouts are up, I think the performance will soon be following.
Okay, hard to argue with that logic. Carlos Martinez, you want to get in there, Scott?
Oh, I thought I had it pulled up. Sorry, go ahead.
Carlos Martinez is another guy who's a little worrisome right now. His last four starts, Martinez has a 5.85 ERA. Three of those starts coincided with that illness that he had. I don't know if he's still feeling the effects, but the strikeouts have been down all year for him. That's 35 strikeouts in 48 innings for our favorite player in the world preseason, Carlos Martinez. Who's worried?
I'm a little bit concerned. This is a guy that I would put... I mean, we talked about before how our concern generally has to do with how much and how consistently they've done it in the past. And Martinez doesn't have that long track record of we just know this guy's a stud.
I've been trying to trade for him in the podcast league. I think it's a good time to buy low. And I just want to say, weren't you two, Adam and Heath, the highest on Carlos Martinez preseason?
Yes.
I didn't want to get lumped into our favorite player, particularly now that he's performing poorly. Now, if he turns things around, I'll join that designation gladly. But
okay, so remember
he's throwing 98 still. I mean,
remember the Tom Verducci article?
Yeah.
You remember the five pitchers he listed as risks this year?
Oh, who were they?
Carlos Martinez is one of them. I know that.
All right, here we go. There's some good ones and some bad ones. Lance McCullers. I think we'll say thumbs up to that one. That was before he went on the DL, but before he got hurt. Noah Syndergaard didn't get that one right. Not yet. Luis Severino, Carlos Martinez, and Tyler Duffy.
So we've got one stud and one injury and three juries still out.
But injury was part of it.
Two injuries. McCullers and Severino.
If McCullers doesn't go back on the DL, though, and he's good the rest of the way, I don't think anyone's going to be disappointed they drafted him, right?
Only because you drafted him after he got hurt, so you got the value out of that. But if you had drafted him and then he got hurt.
I mean, what percentage of starting pitchers do we think have a stint on the DL at some point in a season?
I'm just saying, like, he red flagged the guy, and then the guy went on the DL with a shoulder injury and missed, 6 weeks? I'm saying there's some validity here.
20-30% be my guess.
I think the average team has 1.5 starters get hurt. That seems low.
Does it seem low?
That's I think 40%.
Yeah, it's just wild guessing right now.
Oh, totally.
All right, let's get into it here for week 8. Who to add, who to start, who to sit. Would you consider sitting any of the following hitters? Giancarlo Stanton.
No.
Brian Dozier.
I'd consider it. Second base being so deep, if it was a middle infield, a league that required an extra middle infielder, probably not.
Justin Upton.
Nah.
No, there's just some... I'm not, no.
Joey Votto.
Like, he's going to turn it around so quickly, given his history. He's going to have, like, this 50-point week, and you're going to be like, why'd I sit him?
Well, if you have a daily league with Joey Votto, you might want to sit him tonight against Kershaw, but how about for the week with Votto?
No, because of those three matchups at the end. I mean, you get to go face the Brewers, and they have terrible pitchers.
I am sitting Addison Russell for Jason Kipnis. I know most people don't have those options, but Addison Russell just basically one hit, 12 Ks in his last 6 games. Starter sit this week.
I am probably sitting him unless it's a deep league and I just don't have any other options.
Matchups are not great for him. Wainwright, Waka, Martinez, Adam Morgan, Eichhoff, and Velasquez. They're not terrible, I guess, but they're not great. And how about Matt Kemp? He's been cold, and he's got Cueto, Samardzija, and then it gets a little easier. PV Ray, Greinke, Miller.
Yeah, I was harping on Carlos Beltran's lack of walks earlier. Matt Kemp, after that kind of start he got off to, his on-base percentage is .234. So, 5 outfielder, probably not going to happen, but 3 outfielder, yeah, I think you can do better.
Yeah.
All righty. So some hitters from over the weekend. Now, you saw Brandon Drury, Chris Herrmann. They both homered on Friday. Just wanted to point out it came off of a position player, Ruben Tejada, so you take it with a grain of salt. a few guys who had multi-homer games, Freddie Freeman, Miguel Cabrera, Mookie Betts. We saw what the Rangers lineup might look like if Shin-Soo Choo is back and healthy. Choo led off. Rougned Odor batted 5th. Nomar Mazara, he ended up having a nice weekend, but he batted 7th on Friday with Choo back in the lineup.
And Nomar Mazara is like one of the strangest fantasy options to me because like I feel like he's good. Like a lot of the underlying stats are impressive, particularly for a young player, strikeout to walk ratio, like all of that. And he's hit a lot of home runs, but so few doubles and so few runs in RBI, even batting high in the Rangers lineup. Like he's just gotten killed in those areas, and that's made him a not so productive option. It's kind of annoying.
Yeah, but if you're, I mean, you look at his peripherals and you're telling me that he's hitting 300 and slugging, or he got an OPS of 800.
Yeah.
I'm not going to worry about the runs in RBI.
Well, now he's batting 7th and he wasn't getting them batting 2nd, so.
Yeah, I just, if a guy is performing as well as he was hitting 2nd in the order and he's not getting runs in RBI, I don't attribute that to being his fault.
It does make him a good buy low opportunity, but at the same time, I'm not totally jazzed about starting him right now.
All right, it's Nomar Mazara. Jackie Bradley has a 27 game hitting streak. He's batting over .400 during the streak. This is amazing. And all right, let's talk about a little dilemma I have. Heath, okay. You're in the league. I'm the commissioner of the editorial league, and I turn off waivers on Monday morning until first pitch, or a little before. Matt Wieters is the guy I really wanted. I really wanted to pick him up. I'm starting Yasmani Grandal. I have the worst team in the world. I need to get some wins. I needed Matt Wieters.
Right. your team is maybe the second worst in the world because my team is pretty awful in that league too.
Yeah, you at least got a one win. We play 2 opponents every week. Heath went 1-1. I went 0-2. I did outscore Heath, so you know there's that.
What is your record now in that league?
One went worse than you. So what, we're 7 weeks in? I'm like 3-11.
Okay.
It's pathetic. I'm so annoyed. I thought I had such a great team. I cannot understand what went wrong.
Well, I mean, with that scoring system, it was so obvious how to draft. I'm not sure how you screwed it up.
Well, anyway, that's terrible, terrible league. But, you know, what should I do as the commissioner? I don't want to turn off waivers and then immediately go pick up my guy. So I usually try to wait like at least an hour before I do. But Matt Wieters got scooped up for me before I could. Like, how long should I wait before I make an ad drop?
What I would suggest is that you set a certain time every Monday that waivers are going to be turned on and off, and not just do it arbitrarily whenever you happen to stumble out of bed. And then you can do it right. If it's 9 a.m. every Monday, then at 9 a.m. you can pick someone up and everyone else had the same opportunity because it's always 9 a.m.
But I want you to know
that I think you are kind of putting yourself in a bad position because you do have to wait a little bit when you're arbitrarily deciding when the waivers get turned on and off.
Yeah, I'm a nice commissioner. I'm a nice guy. I do that. I sacrifice my own personal crappy team.
You could just sacrifice an extra few minutes of sleep and just do it at a certain time.
No, I mean, I was up. I just
set an alarm on your phone.
Yeah. But I can't do it at 9. We're on the air at 9 or close to it.
No, we're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who are you kidding?
Yeah, Scott is pulling out of the driveway at 9.
All right, well, listen, I do have some bad teams this year, especially that one. I just don't get it. Look good at the start of the year, but bad. And that's why I love FanDuel. I don't have to worry about those lousy teams. Every day is a new season on FanDuel. Play more fantasy baseball, win some real money, join our listeners who have already won money on FanDuel, and start playing today. If you're worried about commitment, don't be worried. Contests start at just $1. No season-long commitment required. It's easy to use. It's fun to play. And you can win some money, too. So sign up today, enter your first league, and either win a cash prize in that league or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. Go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and sign up with our promo code. It's HOMERUN. One word, no spaces, HOMERUN for that special offer on FanDuel.com. And Wieters, by the way, 8 hits in his last 3 games, 3 home runs in his last 6 games. We'll see if this is the start of something, but 73% owned.
It's nice that a catcher is performing well.
Yeah, it is nice.
That position's been garbage this year.
Yeah, it's not even worth like analyzing on a deeper level. Oh, a guy's putting up numbers. Yes, I want him.
Pick him up. All right, studs being studs, part 1. These guys are like real studs, high drafted. High drafted? I can do better than that. Drafted early. Noah Syndergaard. He's really good. And he threw 109 pitches, which was a season high. 2 straight starts and 3 overall with more than 100 pitches thrown for Syndergaard.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Call up Tom Verducci.
Yeah.
That's probably not good. They need to not do that.
That's not so many pitches. A little over 100. He can handle it. He's only a Norse god for crying out loud.
Yeah, it's true. Have you seen the video of him going around New York City dressed as Thor?
I haven't. I've seen that it exists. I haven't actually watched it.
It's funny. There's one part where he's like, I forgot exactly what he says. He's like, if you could only pick one Mets starter to start like game 7 or start one game, who would it be? And I think he says, and you can't say me. And the guy goes, Matt Harvey. And he's like, no, wrong answer. It's Bartolo Colon. Syndergaard was great. Greinke, 2 really good starts in a row and 4 of his last 5. You think Greinke's back? He's good?
Yes, sir.
Yep. He's fine.
We got Bumgarner, who's been awesome. He has a 2.17 ERA. He's having a terrific year. And then how about, I really would have sat him, no doubt about it, Corey Kluber at Boston. And
yeah.
Look, Salazar got Fenway'd this weekend. You know, everybody gets Fenway'd. Kluber with a great start. Well, pretty good. 7 innings, 2 runs, 6 strikeouts at Boston. Good stuff.
Well, I mean, pretty good considering he's not an ace.
he might not be.
Listen, in a way, he kind of fit the MO there, right? He did what you didn't expect him to do, only this time it was for the better.
Yeah. So hard to justify sitting him now, Corey Kluber.
Yeah.
Well, more studs being.
Yeah, I wasn't ever sitting him.
Yeah, I know, so. I know. More studs being studs. These guys are, you know, later round draft picks or free agent ads, you know. Great. boy. Wow. Wow.
You're struggling to explain these
you
groups of yours.
Open up thesaurus.com.
I guess so.
Yeah.
But they're all owned in over 80% of leagues. They're all owned in most leagues. Lance McCullers. I sat him after his first start, which was bad. I just wanted to see something, and now I think we saw enough at Texas.
I saw something.
Against Texas, yeah. Jay Happ, who you know was good against the Twins, was terrible in his previous outing, and Tanner Roark got back on track as I talked about. How about McCullers? I'm not sure. Oh, so they took Devenski out of the rotation, so it's going to be Baltimore at home for McCullers this week. Is that a start for you guys or a sit?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how good, you're on your editorial league team. Definitely, he's a start.
He's a start.
Yeah, he's a start. When you made a little slip there when you were talking about Tanner Roark, and you said he got back on trap, and I don't think that was a slip. I think it was perfect because I think it is a trap.
Really?
I just don't. Yeah, I do.
Man.
I don't believe in a guy that struck out six batters per nine his whole career and now has a 8.5 K per nine.
Well, that it happens.
Yeah. Well, a lot of it could be that one start, right?
Pitched against. But at the same time, I mean, 7 6 2/3 this time. I feel like the strikeout rate has been consistently high since that 15 strikeout game.
He's been pretty close to one per inning, except for the start against the Royals,
which was the bad one. The bad one was Miami.
The bad one was Miami.
Bonds is Marlins. I mean, come on.
Right. I mean, you can't expect him to be good against them.
I don't think Roark needs a good strikeout rate to be a startable fantasy option because he was 2 years. He was more than startable. He was top 40
right
2 years ago. B, not ruling it out. I mean, Keuchel's big jump last year and he won a Cy Young. So
where do you have Roark in when the RP eligibility doesn't matter? I mean, he's not in the must start guys.
I think he's close to top 40. I'd have to check. Okay. I gotta open it.
Okay.
It's gonna take a minute.
It's going to be well above where I have him because I just don't believe it.
So, all right, let's move on then while you talk about
I'd buy him more than half. As you're saying, we're going to move on. I buy more than Jay Happ.
Heath, who would you rather have, Happ or Roark?
In a points league, I'd rather have Roark. In a roto league, I'd rather have Happ.
So here's some guys who are duds this weekend. And what I want to know from this list is, who are you starting to consider dropping? Maybe you're not there yet, but we're getting there. Hisashi Iwakuma, who did get dropped and then added in our podcast league. Kenta Maeda. Adam Conley. Jaime Garcia. Yordano Ventura. Kyle Hendricks. Joe Ross.
Well, I've been there with Ventura for a while, so that's easy first one. Kyle Hendricks, I think, is being overvalued too, because the Cubs just have no incentive to pitch him even six innings, it seems like, most of the time. He's 2-4 despite like a 3.30 ERA and 109 whip, something like that. 2-4. And it's because he's not able to go deep enough to get his own win. That's a real problem. As rarely as we talk about wins on this show, because they are so random.
Well, how about he can't get quality starts either?
Right, exactly.
I think Hendricks would probably be the one that I'd be most likely to drop out of that group as well, but I'm really further confused by Adam Conley.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he may be closer. Chris had compared him to Andrew Miller, the starting pitcher, and Scott was comparing him to Chris Sale. And I always knew he was somewhere in between those two.
Well, Conley has three quality starts this year. So the production really hasn't quite been there.
No, I think he's closer to the Andrew Miller end of the spectrum than the Chris Sale end of the spectrum.
I don't think he's undroppable because, I mean, now he's looking at a mid-4s ERA and like a 1.6 whip coming off a start where he walked seven guys, and I think three of them were intentional. But yeah, obviously that's going to blow up his numbers. But yeah, Adam's right that there hasn't been many quality starts. There've been some early hooks. There've been some control issues off and on. I think he's kind of like Jared Eichhoff, where, you know, I a lot of upside and at times this year he looked must-own because of it, but there's been enough downside and enough inconsistency that, given that roster crunch where I can't even pick up Michael Fulmer off a good start, I think you consider dropping him, Conley, or Eichhoff.
But you wouldn't drop Conley for Fulmer, would you?
No.
I do have Eichhoff just barely. I moved him just barely ahead of Conley this morning.
I know nobody wants to listen to me with Jaime Garcia, but The guy has not had one good start against a good opponent. The only guys that Garcia has been good against this year have been Milwaukee. Let's see, Milwaukee, the Angels, and the Phillies. He's faced the his other starts have been against Atlanta, which was a fluke. He did badly against them, but the Cubs, Diamondbacks twice, Nationals, and Rockies, and he didn't have a quality start in any of those other starts. So
I did notice that, and there may be something to it, but this start in particular, you know, by far his worst. 10 hits and 2 1/3 innings. He noticed that his arm slot was off. Like he just wasn't throwing the ball in the right arm slot the whole time. So there's a reasonable explanation for why he was so bad this time out, and I wouldn't be looking to drop him based on this start.
That's Jaime Garcia. Now, you might not want to drop Jaime Garcia, but would you sit him at Washington this week?
It's really going to depend on, I mean, I think that's a borderline one.
McCullers against Baltimore or Jaime at Washington?
I think I'd probably still start Jaime.
To start Tom Kohler? Or
I picked up a lot of two-start Tom this weekend.
You did?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I was thinking about it.
Yep. That's a guy close to the Andrew Miller end of the spectrum, except without the fastball.
I think one of the two is against the Braves.
He's got a home start, and he's got a start at the Braves. And the guy's good at home.
Hey, Braves are hot right now.
The Braves are.
Didn't they get shut out yesterday?
Yes,
but
they did.
Won like three of the previous four or something.
Now, the Braves keep like hurting my FanDuel plays, you know, like I didn't participate on Saturday, but I keep start this guy against the Braves, and they do like a lot better than I expected the Braves anyway. So,
yeah, they're
coming 3-2 in their last five.
Whoa,
we may never see that again.
New manager changed everything. All right, fringy starting pitchers. Let's pick up some guys here. These are shallower leagues, players owned in 66% to 78% of leagues. And I can't believe we haven't even talked about one of these players yet, because Scott White's on the show. Here are the pitchers. Scott Kazmir took a step back at San Diego. What the heck was that all about? Patrick Corbin, Kevin Gausman, Michael Pineda, Jared Eichhoff, and Alex Wood. 13 strikeouts Saturday.
Yeah! That's what I'm talking about!
It's the Padres.
It was.
Come on.
All right. You want a crazy stat for Alex Wood? You're poo-pooing his start because it happened to be against a major league team you don't like.
It has nothing to do with how I like them. I like them just fine.
But they are a major league team. All right.
Barely.
Last fight. Let's say Alex Wood struck out 0 in this start instead of 15 or 13. You follow me? 0 instead of 13. In his last 5 starts, he would still have a strikeout per inning,
which is pretty good.
Completely unlike what we were seeing.
That's true.
His first few starts this year and what we saw from him all last year. He is back and better than ever.
One of those other five was against the Padres too.
Yeah, but none of them have been a bad strikeout game. I think his worst, he had like, 5-6 or 5-7, something like that.
All right, let me just throw a little bit of cold water on Alex Wood. And I will preface that by saying if he were available in any of my leagues, I'd pick him up, because it's not that I'm not buying into him. I just want to see how good this guy is. And I'm looking at those matchups, and he has been facing teams that kind of struggle against lefties, like the Mets, right? He had a really good start against the Mets. They're 26th in OPS against lefties, or at least they were entering Sunday. He had a good start, I believe, against St. Louis. And they're great against righties. They're 15th in OPS against lefties. It's not bad. And then they face San Diego twice. Now, you look at the start against the Rays, he gave up 3 home runs in that game. And the Rays are really good against lefties. So maybe the matches
are very unwood-like. He's a ground ball pitcher.
Well, the bottom line is,
start anything negative that happened.
No, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying the Mets are the worst in baseball in terms of striking out against lefties at 27% of their plate appearances. The Padres are the third worst at 26.6. That's 3 of the last 5. The Rays do have some pop against lefties, but they're still the 10th worst at 23.1.
He should be owned in more than 66% of leagues, though. Like, let's be real here.
Yeah, I agree with that.
We're not trying to dump on Wood too much, but we got to bring Scott down a little bit.
All that really matters for Alex Wood is that he has 43 strikeouts and 30 1/3 innings his last 5 starts, and it coincides directly
with
him making a mechanical change.
With Scott's article.
Yes. All right, Scott, if Alex Wood is your favorite, and Heath, if Alex Wood's your favorite on this list, who's your second favorite? Kazmir, Corbin, Gausman, Pineda, Eichhoff?
I'll still say Eichhoff.
Yep.
But I was for as good, quote unquote, as the start was against the Braves Sunday, still a little discouraged that it was only 3 strikeouts in 7 innings, because I think when he's right, he gets strikeouts.
Okay.
And I'm still encouraged by Gausman. What's his ownership percentage?
75.
No, that's about right.
All right, next group then. 50-64% own. Hector Santiago got lit up by Baltimore. Colby Lewis.
Don't talk to me about Colby Lewis.
No, this guy is pitching really well. 5 straight starts of 7 innings. 3 earned runs in one of those 5. 2 or fewer in the other 4. He has a 2.75 ERA. He has a 1.10 whip. And, I mean, Colby Lewis is pitching very well, and he's 60% owned.
I've stacked against him every single time.
Stop. Tyler Chatwood. Tyler Chatwood, Matt Andrees, and Trevor Bauer. So it's Santiago, Lewis, Chatwood, Andrees, and Bauer. Who are your 2 favorites in that group?
Do I have to?
I guess Santiago and Bauer.
Probably Chatwood and Bauer.
Okay.
Chatwood.
He's been so good on the road this year.
It's so good in like a 2 strikeouts and 6 innings kind of way, though.
Well, not every start.
Yeah, he's 36 strikeouts and 56 2/3. Pretty bad in that category.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Come on, can't give love to Colby Lewis. You really are putting him behind Tyler Chatwood and
I'm not as dismissive of him as Heath was. The home run rate is and always has been scary, but very good control pitcher and has been a viable fantasy option in the past. I think 9 starts in is when you have to start just kind of throwing your own biases out. And not that I'm, you know, calling a must own or anything, but I'm starting to be open to the idea that maybe he'll be usable this year.
Okay. Sorry. Let me just say about Colby Lewis is last year he had like a 2-month stretch that was pretty good, but it was sort of bookended, and there might have even been one in there by awful starts, like 8 earned run starts. So that is the risk you run with Colby Lewis.
I think we talk so much about all these pitchers that are now borderline top 20 pitchers that we just continue to believe that they're going to get it together because they have such a long history of getting it together. Lewis has got an equally long history of not being a good fantasy pitcher.
Right, but the downside to giving up on one of those high-end pitchers isn't nearly as big as the downside of buying into one of those low-end pitchers.
It just depends on who you have to drop to buy into it.
I think I said that backwards. Almost zero risk to taking a flyer on anybody on waivers. Well, there's very big risk to dumping a high-end.
You were just talking about how you got waiver wire fatigue because you can't afford to add Michael Fulmer. There's risk.
I can afford to add him. I just don't want to.
There's risk to adding Colby Lewis.
Not really. The worst player on your team. You would trade the worst player on your team for anybody, right? You're not really that attached to him.
Colby Lewis. Lewis is a pretty good quality starts guy. Even last year he was. So that's something to consider if you're in a quality starts league. Some more starting pitchers here. All right. We got to speed things up. We're almost out of time. So Matt Whistler, Mike Leake, Wade Miley, Mike Fiers, John Neese, Tyler Duffy, Sean Manaea, Michael Fulmer. There's interesting names here. Who would be some of your favorites?
I had to drop Duffy in the podcast league to get Iwakuma, but I'm not down on him after this start. He's still my favorite. Are you coming around anymore on Whistler, Heath?
I did not see his last start. Did he strike anybody out?
Yeah, he got 6 strikeouts. I think that was 2 6 strikeouts in a row.
7 strikeouts, I think.
7 strikeouts. Oh, even better.
Well, that's
2
that's
straight
incorrect.
Starts with 7 Ks.
Okay.
And 3 straight starts with exactly 10 swinging strikes for Whistler.
Yeah. Not a great number. I don't think he's ever going to be a big strikeout guy, but sub-1 whip, I mean.
Well, a lot of that's because of a 230 BABIP against.
Sure, but he also has really good control.
And a lot of fly balls. Ton of fly balls.
Which is a good thing as long as they're not flying over the fence. And it contributes to a low BABIP.
Yeah. There's a name on here, guys, that I think could, you know, just based on what we've seen in the past, Mike Fiers at 43% owned might be starting to figure it out a little bit. He's been hot and cold, but, you know, getting better. I'm interested in him, you know.
I'd definitely rather have him. I mean, he's in a different class for me than Whistler.
Not okay. Me. I'd rather have Whistler.
And he's, in in deep leagues. I mentioned some of these guys earlier, but Joe Kelly, Matt Cain, Cesar Vargas, Williams Perez, Pat Dean, Dylan G, Dan Straley, Matt Shoemaker, CC Sabathia, I think it was supposed to be on here. I don't know where he went. And
yeah, he had a good start.
Yeah, he did. Two in a row. Danny Duffy and Cesar Ramos.
I was waiting for us to get around to Matt Shoemaker, though, because that happened the same night as Woods' 13 strikeouts. Shoemaker got 12.
23 swinging strikes for Shoemaker against Baltimore.
How crazy was that? The only thing I can really see that was different, and you know, there's certainly a chance that there's something I can't see, but both this start and last, which was a pretty good start, used his split finger fastball a lot more, like 40% of the time, and it seemed to be contributing to a lot of those swings and misses. So maybe he's gotten a better grasp of his arsenal here.
Okay. Are there any other pitchers? I know people were picking up Danny Duffy in deep leagues. I don't know that they trust him to go more than like five innings.
Well, I think that there is a very good reason to question that. They've had trust issues with Danny Duffy ever since that really good run in 2014. He's gotten two spot starts. He's thrown 7 1/3, hasn't given up a run, and struck out 8 batters. I think he's going to get another spot start. He'll probably be ramped up to maybe 75 pitches. If he has another good one, I think you have to start considering Adam in deep leagues. I don't know. I mean, we've seen Danny Duffy be good for like 4 months at a time, but it does really look like the team at least thinks he's kind of a head case.
Oh my gosh. Did you see this trade that just went down?
Oh no.
In our editorial league?
My stomach drops every time I see a trade notification email in any league.
Well, this is awful.
Scott is not in this league, so.
Okay, I can't even see it.
You know, maybe it's not that bad. I guess not. I'm exaggerating a little bit.
No, it's bad. Castellanos and Travis Shaw for Andrew McCutchen.
That's bad.
It's pretty bad. Damn it. That's such an Azer trade, and I wasn't even a part of it.
That's usually my first thought, too, when I see a trade like that is, man, why couldn't I have gotten to it first? Yeah. Not, man, this trade needs to be vetoed.
Andrew Cashner is going to start Tuesday. Domingo Santana on the DL. Kevin Kiermaier broke his hand. Alex Rodriguez should come off the DL on Tuesday. Chesler Cuthbert was autocorrected to Chesapeake Duthbert. But he was Chesapeake Duthbert was sent to the minors and is actually going to play some second base while at AAA. That could be good.
I like that, big man.
Anthony DiSclafani, Raisel Iglesias, Michael Lorenzen could all be back sometime in June. Check on Pagan and Pence. They're both dealing with some hamstring issues. Yasmani Grandal left Saturday's game with an ankle injury, didn't start on Sunday. Carlos Gomez will begin a rehab assignment tomorrow. Ross Stripling was supposed to pitch on Tuesday, but he pitched 3 innings in relief yesterday, so that's probably not going to happen.
Stripped of his start.
Hey now. And CJ Wilson began a rehab assignment, and we'll try to read a few emails. But Heath, who are we starting in FanDuel? Are you starting Clayton Kershaw, or are you saving money and going Johnny Cueto against the Pods?
Well, I want to go back for just 1 second to the whole Stripling thing. Do we got any speculation on who might start for the Dodgers in his place?
No, Bolsinger got sent down. I don't think they could bring him up that quickly. I would think there's a non-zero chance it could be Arias. Is that what you were
thinking?
That's
what I'm hoping for, yes.
I would think it's still a very slim chance, but
right.
He's been in the last couple hit prospect reports, he's been among my top five prospects to stash because I think he is very close.
I think if you're going to use Kershaw, which is not a bad idea, you need it to be on a day when there is some cheap hitting options. And thankfully, there's some bad pitchers pitching against bad offenses, or at least what have been recently bad offenses, which is kind of what leads us to cheap pitching options. Big Pelf is at home against Philadelphia. So I think you could look at some Phillies if you want to save some money. There could be some right-handed Dodgers against Brandon Finnegan that get to play that don't normally play. Save some money, maybe AJ Ellis at catcher.
Well, Yasiel Puig.
Yeah. Puig is probably still really dirt cheap.
Is Trace Thompson cheap?
I don't think Thompson's
cheap. He's not as cheap as Puig is okay. Still just $2,400.
Yeah. I like Ben Revere at $2,500 against Bartolo Colon.
Hey, he finally stole a base and then added another for good measure.
Yeah. Cleveland's got Eric Johnson. White Sox have Cody Anderson.
Right. I think if you want to save money at pitcher and go with the expensive stacks tonight, Ian Kennedy going up against the Twins, and they are starting Ricky Nolasco. A really good chance for Kennedy to go 6+, strike out 7+, and get a win.
I do apologize. We didn't really get to any emails today. You should not start Curtis Granderson. He has terrible numbers against Gio Gonzalez. Left-handed Rays against Wei-Yin Chen are risky. I could save the emails for tomorrow. We don't have a full slate of games, so we can do some more emails tomorrow. Mike from St. Louis, should I drop Steven Vogt for Evan Gattis?
I would not, know.
I might. I might do that, yeah. In on a disagreement. I don't like the idea of dropping Vogt in general, but in the long run, I think Gattis is going to be better at catcher.
Mike also wants to know if you'd rather have Chu or Revere rest of season.
Chu.
Yeah, I'll stick with Chu.
And Justo needs one starting pitcher from this list. Adam Conley at Atlanta, Matt Moore at Miami and home against the Yankees, or Nate Karns against Oakland?
Moore.
Yeah, go with the two starts there.
I think I would choose Moore if he was one start, either one of those one starts. Hmm.
Oakland without Josh Reddick.
Love starting the pitcher against Atlanta.
That's true.
But yeah. Oakland also without Josh Reddick, not very good. I mean,
they weren't very good with Josh Reddick.
No, and that's probably their best hitter, especially I would assume against righties because Valencia.
Well, Scott's blood pressure just spiked.
No, Reddick's a very good hitter. I can handle him being better than Valencia.
Well, I mean, look what he did to the Yankees pitchers this weekend. The Yankees looked like aces against the A's. So, thank you. 5 wins in a row, everybody. We're coming back.
Yeah.
That's it for today's show. Thanks for listening. I'm Adam Ace from Heath Cummings and Scott White down in Kokomo. Machado or Bono or Noah.